Hi everyone, Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Hey everybody out there in internet land. Russ here from RST Coaching Academy, presenter of Money Talks, where we're going to talk about money and how to make more of it. I've got a special guest on today from Denton, Texas, a new friend of mine. Name is Sharon Riddle, and she is a expert in the multifamily real estate investment world. And she's going to tell you her story, how she got into this game, how it's worked for her, and what she sees going forward. And then she's gonna offer a little advice to you. You might be thinking about doing the same thing and how you, as an individual or a small business, whatever, can get started. So anyway, I'm gonna turn it over to Sharon. Sharon, thanks for coming on board here today at Money Talks, where we're gonna talk about some money and how to make more of it. Specifically, it sounds like in the real estate world, and that's an exciting area. A lot of people are wondering how to do it, what they want to get into it and just don't know how. So I bet you've got some tips for them as you go along. So Sharon, take it away. Have fun.
Okay. Thanks, Russ, for having me on bright and early.
Yes.
So we're going to talk money really early this morning. And my journey involves multifamily real estate. I started out in single family way back in 2005. Moved forward and we found my mentor in multifamily in 2015. And we ended up converting our single family rentals that I self-managed in the Dallas-Fort Worth area into our multifamily investments. And now we have gone full cycle on about 9 of those investments. We've had a total of 18, which includes, if you want to think of things in terms of doors, it's 3,507 doors.
And so, how many properties is that encompassing, Sharon?
It has encompassed 18. 9 have gone full cycle, which means 9 have sold as part of the portfolio. So about half the portfolio.
So you've got 9 active currently?
I have 9 active currently as a passive investor. And we do have a general partner team. And so we do tour and look at properties and make offers ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we actually do that both ways. And that's kind of been our journey starting. We ended up beginning because Dan went to a Managing Your Money seminar and real estate was presented as part of that. Well, I'm the one who's the construction brat. My dad was a construction subcontractor, had his own business. And Dan came home and said, "Hi, Sharon, I've got a job for you. You know, I already have a job," but it's like, a job for me.
Oh, you didn't have enough to do, huh?
No, I was just too idle there. It's too idle. But his thinking, his words may have needed a little improving, but his thinking was, I was the one who had interfaced and known contractors through my early childhood. Mm. So, and he was wise in that because working with contractors came very easily to me, very easily, because tradesmen are all about projects, whether they're your handyman or your plumber, your electrician, or your general contractor, they're all about projects. And I can wrap my head around that, and they could too. And we were just talking directly about how to get the job done. And we accomplished many of those things, certainly
great
in that time period. So that's what we did. But I'm going to take time, and since Russ wants me to tell you a little story, because we have some similar background, and he's gone on a special signature talk, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I really began my multifamily journey. Single family first, than multifamily. But I will tell you, I was going day after day in single family, working with Realtor Sue, and Realtor Sue could not come up with enough properties for me to invest in. We would make offers, but the offers were rejected week after week. I was so devastated. Something had to change. Well, the universe answered my little call, my little gift from the universe and God. And guess what? Came in the form of an email. And that email invited me to one of Brad Sumrock's Rat Race to Retirement, his first event. And because I knew Dennis Henson in Arlington, Texas, I got the promo code. It was free. So Dan and I went. Everything changed. Everything
And what
changed.
was the name of that
As
seminar?
Rat Race to Retirement. And
Rat Race to Retirement.
Brad still holds those today. He also has something called Weekend to Retirement. It's a little more condensed for people who don't have 4 days. They compact it all into the weekend. So he's got Rat Race to Retirement and Weekend ret to Retirement, or Weekend to Wealth. That's what he calls it, Weekend to Wealth. And so everything changed for us. We ended up investing in multifamily. And I will tell you, I want to share just a little moment with your audience that was so beautiful to me.
Okay, so but up until that time, you were focusing on single family, is that correct?
That is correct.
So this is what happened in 2015
It did.
with Dan Simrock's seminar.
Brad Sumrock's seminar,
Yep.
and that's where we made the pivot. That's where we adapted.
All right.
We adapted, and I was just thinking when we were in Punta de Mita, Mexico, last year with our mastermind crew, just how beautiful life was. Things had changed. It stabilized more in the company, and it was just really a beautiful life looking over that Pacific Ocean. Really was.
Well, from Texas to this Pacific Ocean, it's quite a change indeed. The ocean is awesome.
Ocean is awesome. And it kind of reflected, my journey. Gone from some disruptions, having to do some changes and adaption to kind of a place that's more peaceful. You got some stability. And all of that kind of correlated together for me in that moment.
Good deal. And
So that,
then what? Then what happened?
well, we're still investing in multifamily, and we've just added more people. I've got a great marketing team. One of the things that I really want to talk to your audience about is when you have that freedom and you're building your business, especially what I'm doing in multifamily, I can choose who I work with. I can talk to podcasters like you, Russ. I can make that time. I have my marketing team I work with, and Russ already knows that I have my stage broker team. They work with me regarding live stages and podcasts. So, and that's part of the through the 10X family. So I get those options. I get freedom in that area too, working with the people I have longed to work with, to continue to build my business further, and to also really increase my branding. So you get that, you get those options too, and that's really great. And that's what I'm doing a lot of right now too, is working in my business. Yeah, I mean, not in my business, but on my business. Working on my business a lot right now, and it's really great. But one of the things that I really want to talk to you about multifamily is it's scalable. It is so scalable. I didn't have that scalability in single family, and that is where I grew my wealth. Our wealth increased exponentially working in multifamily during the 2015 time to present.
Now the only thing with the between single family and multifamily is you have a bigger nut to crack for your investment. It's a bigger contract because you've got more doors to work with that you have to be able to front basically from the financing
It is.
standpoint. So had that
That's
been, now you had a track record, a 10-year track record in the single family, so no doubt you had built up a portfolio and a financial statement with a good bottom line, and so you could cash out on that and divert that money into the multifamily world. What about a person who's starting out from just zero and says, "Well, I want to go into apartments." Well, that, like I say, that's a bigger nut to crack. So how does a person, maybe you're going to get into this, how does a person get into multifamily when they haven't done anything? All they've got is maybe their savings or something, their 401k or whatever the case may be. That's the only thing that might deter somebody, don't you think, from getting into the multifamily just from scratch?
Well, I will say that one of the things that they can do is they can invest a small amount as an LP, as a passive investor. So you can take smaller bites. And we started out as passive investors, which means you can invest like 50,000, on each property, something a little bit smaller, so they can really kind of do some of those things. Some people are getting more involved in even smaller amounts in the multifamily space, and they are doing that through a fund. So,
So you said investing as an LP. What's an LP?
that is a passive investor,
Okay.
a limited partner versus a general partner.
All right. So you said that's how you started out.
That is how I started out in the beginning. So
Okay.
we've been passive investors for quite some time, and now we have a general partner team that we are looking for properties actively. We're
You're
actively
doing your own. You transition from being part of a group, so to speak, a fund,
looking.
if you will, and then you transitioned into being all in on your own, correct?
And
Okay.
technically, we did the passive investing through a syndication. So the passive investors are owners as well. They're just limited partners, which, so syndication is different than a fund. And I know that Grant has his fund. Grant Cardone had his fund. I know other investors who have created their own funds too. And that is actually a way that people who have smaller amounts of money than 50,000 can go ahead and invest. I will tell them one thing that's different, because you still do have bonus depreciation as a tax sheltering tool.
Right.
You don't really get the bonus depreciation in a fund. You do in a syndication. So be aware of that. If you have multiple goals, like I do, which are a tax sheltering goal, zero tax goal, as well as a wealth building goal, you have a goal as far as your net income, then keep those things in mind, because you
Okay.
want to use the best tool for the right job.
Right. So there's two different aspects of this passive investor thing. One is syndication,
Syndication
and then the other one is a fund.
is a fund.
And the big difference between the two is the fund has no bonus depreciation. Is bonus depreciation different than just straight depreciation? What does that mean?
It's a more accelerated rate
I
of
see.
depreciation. So
Okay.
they're stepping that down more, but way back in, oh gosh, I guess it was 2018, 2019, you could get like 100% bonus depreciation. So for me, coming from the single family world, having those carryover losses every year, I was like, wow, this is like awesome. Because I could really take some of those losses in year one. And it was a great tax tool for my CPAs. And it really continues to be. It's just not 100% now because it's in step down mode.
I see. This is something that the Fed came up with to benefit investors or whatever, I suppose, right?
Well, technically it is it came through Congress. So it was approved through the House and the Senate. And that 100% bonus depreciation did come about in the Trump administration. So that is where that that's the origins.
Awesome. So you had your money in single family, you divested from that, put it in as a limited partner, as a passive investor into multifamily, and then one day you said, "Oh man, this is really cool. We want to do this all for ourselves and by ourselves." So then was there an issue? Did you have difficulty divesting from these limited partnerships, or are you still in those?
I am in limited partners. What we have personally done, we like to create LLCs to kind of segregate our activity. So we did have an LLC that was part of an EQRP. We had an LLC that was a 401k. We had an LLC that was our money, basically from divesting or selling the single family properties. And so that was just our money passively. And now we have created a general partner LLC, and that will be for properties that we are buying through the general partnership and any expenses that we are incurring for that business.
And you have one LLC that manages all of your properties and not an LLC for each individual of your
No,
nine
we
active
usually
properties.
try to, you know, we usually try to limit that. It's not just one LLC for each property. There are multiple properties in each of the LLCs. We just do it based on what tool we have used, what financial tool was the origin of the property, because there's different tax laws and they're treated differently. So we like to kind of segregate that because well, it makes life easier for our CPAs too. So you know, there's just different SEC rules for 401k bond versus the money that you have that has been your cash on hand.
I
So
see. And you went the LLC route as opposed to the corporation route. Why?
well, we felt that we needed to grow into a corporation. We wanted the asset protection, but we felt that we really needed to grow the business a little more before we were a C corp.
I
And
see.
we did that in conjunction with the accountants that we've had since 2019. We found them through our mastermind. So we found them through Tom Wheelwright's organization, and he is well, he's Robert Kiyosaki's CPA. So
Got it. Okay. But so you're headed to the corporation route, or you're going to stay with the LLCs over time?
well, I will say we are going to monitor the activity and do all of that in conjunction with our CPA's advice and guidance.
All
So
right.
the timing, you know, they pretty much will know when we need to flip the switch or move over in that and how we're going to make that happen. So
Now
we're going to do that with them.
my company is an S corp
Is an S corp, okay?
as opposed to a C corp, and so everything that the company makes, bottom line, goes to Russ and his wife, Ruby. personally, as opposed to how a C corp operates. So I don't know if that's yet another thing. I'm sure your accountants are well versed of all of those things and come up with the best plan for you over time. So this
Well,
has
Russ, of
worked well for
course,
you.
at this point in time, Dan is still in the aerospace world. So he still has the W-2 income, which is different from the position that you and your spouse are currently in. So little different situation for us. I'm the real estate professional designate. So we get those tax advantages with me being exclusively doing that, and him still in the aerospace world with his W-2 job.
Does he see himself leaving that someday and just
He
coming
does.
alongside of you full time?
He does, and then we'll have to organize where everybody sits and what job they are doing, because I have been kind of running my own show here separately from him. He's been really great at working with the CPAs and the bookkeeper. We have a bookkeeper now. So, but it involves a lot of data, and data is right up his alley. Numbers and data.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, they're right
Yeah,
up his
so
alley. And so I get to have more one-on-one interface with people like this podcast with you. So
yeah. Us propeller heads like he and I, we love the numbers and the analytics and stuff.
oh
And
yeah.
the challenge with that is it can get in our way because we can get so bogged down with the numbers and this and that instead of just seeing the picture and pressing on. So we've got to be careful and not try to
You can have some analysis.
overthink things. Folks, don't overthink things. Think
Don't
just
get
what you
into an
need to know
analysis
and then go from
paralysis.
there.
No analysis paralysis. Yeah, you can get yourself a little stuck and wrapped around an axle.
Yep, indeed. Now, you said you'd indicated that you've got really an organization of people that you're working with. How many folks are involved in your real estate operation?
Well, what we've got mostly are we've got vendors.
What does
We've
a
got,
vendor do for you?
well, we have our marketing team. So we have like four people that are part of a marketing that are my marketing company. He has his own C Corp. And then I've got my stage broker people. I'm looking at adding some additional help with social media, and I may be adding a VA. I know another person who's in the 10X family that has a franchise, and they've got a VA company.
That's
So
a virtual assistant, folks.
virtual assistant. So maybe adding that. So it's a timing of when to add those people and those functions on. So
Who
I'm just.
actually goes out? How do you find a property that's on the market or coming on the market? How do you locate those?
Okay. Well, for over 2 years, I have been calling brokers myself. So I do have a relationship with several brokers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and now they're starting to call me. We also were best and final in a property, our general partner team in Wiley, Texas. That helped because we were on a list of people that had been in best and final on a property. So then we got a call regarding that. But also through the Sumrock community, they do have a broker team, and they have a tool that people in the Sumrock community can use that they can look at properties across Texas, outside of Texas. It's kind of segregated by units, how large the property is.
I
So
see.
we do a combination of those things.
Okay. So when you started doing this, you had to scramble around and get brokers' attention. Hey, I'm looking for a property, maybe this many doors and maybe this price range and so on and so forth.
Yep.
But you had to get their attention, but you've done this so long, you've been so successful that now you have brokers calling you with a property that they think might be of interest to you. That sounds like that's what's going on,
That
which is a nice place to be at, isn't it?
It's a very nice place to be because I've put a lot of effort into that. And, I will say just taking the time to build relationships always pays off in
Heck yeah.
business, always pays off.
Indeed. Yeah. Do you have a feel for how many properties you actually look at and consider, evaluate, and so on against the one offer that you make? You know,
Well,
you look at 10 to make one offer or whatever the case may be.
it really, really depends, and because this fall we just looked at three, and we were best and final in two, but the volume was a little lower
That
because,
what the volume, the net income volume, or what? What do you
actually,
mean?
it was just the volume of properties coming on the market.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It was a little reduced. So,
Huh.
so we're well, part of that has been the onset of the Fed and those rate increases coming so quickly, one after the other.
Yeah.
So, owners are hesitate to are hesitating to sell. Some are. We believe that there will be more coming on the market in 2024, certainly later in the year. So we are just preparing for those co properties coming available and just continuing to talk to brokers as far as timing.
Sure.
I always ask them what is in their pipeline. That's
Right.
what's coming available.
So you're saying that a current owner might be hesitant to put their property on the market because the interest rate is high. I don't understand that. If they want to sell, they want to sell. I can understand why a buyer might be reluctant to invest now because the interest rate is high. But how does that interest rate thing affect a seller making a decision to actually list his property?
Well, it depends on whether they had a what type of loan they had. If they had an agency loan, not as much impact. If they had a bridge loan, that's going to be the more variable rate, then they're impacted more severely regarding that. So those are the investors that are well, they're a little more challenged. They're just a little more challenged.
Wow. When I asked about your team, you spoke about your marketing team, social media team, gonna hire a virtual assistant. Those people, they don't really sound like they're so much property oriented as kind of behind the scenes and social media, you know, getting the word out that here you are and this is what you do and so on. What are you doing with these? What is your goal for like social media? Is that helping you find more properties, or what is that doing for your operation on the social media side?
On the social media side, and I for my company, my general partner company, I actually do have a Facebook page too, as well as a website, and we'll get to that a little later in the program. But I will say it's a verification loop. People can kind of check out and see what I've done and where we are going. And
Okay.
a lot of investors are utilizing their social media or their website as a verification tool. So people like, oh, this is what they're doing. Oh, they said they are doing this. And they just kind of verify.
Okay, so a seller might use the social media to check you out as
Well,
a viable buyer.
investors could, sellers could. I will say, our broker team, because we do have a broker team through Sumeroc, they kind of go through a lot of that because we have to present a real estate bio. So the sellers get all that information about us and our team. So they get a bio for each of us when we present an offer. So that's
Okay.
what they get.
And you said that investors might use the social media to check you out.
Oh yeah, they
What do
do
you
that
mean
all the
in,
time.
what do you mean investors? Investors in the putting up the money to buy your property? Are they investing in your, and do you have a fund? Do you have a syndication, or what does that mean exactly, the investors?
What I present, it will be it's syndication. So I
Okay.
have an investor database. They can be added to an investor database. I've even got a blog for my website. So I've got a lot of things going that are working to let investors know me better, know my
Okay.
company better. So
Okay.
they just know what we're doing, how we're doing things. They get more information as far as operation, a little
Okay.
behind the curtain kind of knowledge.
Okay. So you then have, you branched out into not just buying properties yourself, but have formed a syndication where you can acquire capital from investors to pool their money into your program to purchase one or more properties then too.
That
Okay, so
is correct.
you're kind of doing the multifamily from two different things. Yeah, you've got some probably that are solely owned by you and your husband, and then those that are part of the syndication thing, correct?
Yeah,
Okay.
we are great believers in the power of syndication.
Got it.
It's helped us create, frankly, Russ, it's helped us create multi-generational wealth.
Oh yeah, because you well, you're working, obviously, working with other people's money, and you're helping them acquire property for themselves, basically, and the benefits of that, and without the actual activity, because they're the passive investors. And it allows you to build your portfolio, which helps your bottom line in your business, right?
Well, Russ, and even when we were in single family, when I was self-managing, we actually did work with private lenders. We went to a boot camp from Alan Cowgill. So I just see syndication as kind of something similar to private lending, but on a larger scale. So when I was talking about the scalability of multifamily, it's not only the asset itself, but it's also the pool of investors that you work with on a particular asset and project. So it's scalable on that side of things too.
Right, yeah. Somebody that has, what on the syndication side, what would you say is the minimum buy-in?
I like to personally start at 50,000.
So you would be looking for investors with $50,000 to put in to the program. Okay.
And
And so
they can do that either with some of the assets or cash on hand, or they can do that through a 401k.
Okay. And in order to create that, one thing is you guys, you and your husband doing this on your own is one thing. But doing the syndication thing, that probably opens up a whole new can of worms, legally and financially, correct?
Yeah,
Like, is there licensing involved in that kind of thing or what?
there is actually there's an SEC attorney involved in all that.
Okay.
So
All right.
they can be comfortable with that because the whole process is guided with an SEC attorney. So they have the proper documents, for that and everything. And so yeah, we work with all the right professionals.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, the SEC gets involved and oversees that and
They do.
make sure everything is on the up and up. Oh, wow. Well, that's exciting what you've done, and how you kind of stepped into it in 2005 and then had a change of focus 10 years later, and now you're totally committed to this. When did you start the actual syndication side of your business?
That really started in 2015 when we met Brad Sumrock. We
Right.
started investing immediately
Well, that's when you got into the investing. When did you start creating your own syndication that people could invest in your?
Well, what we do, the what we do is, Russ, it really, we open up a syndication for each property. So that's kind of separate than from just a fund, because a fund, people use that for multi-property acquisition. But a syndication is specifically attached to a particular property. And so every time we have a property that we're offering, it will be the syndication will be tied to that particular property.
And when did you do your first one? When did you create your first?
Oh, syndication. Okay, well, we are still general partners. So, and we're still looking. We're still looking for the right opportunities. We have been invited to be part of another team, but we didn't like that particular submarket as well. And we're very selective regarding the property, and we are very conservative regarding our underwriting,
I see.
which I think are really good combinations, because you want conservative underwriting. So that means, as a passive investor, your success rate is higher. You know,
Because
because my, yeah, my,
you're being ultra careful.
you're being, yeah, ultra careful. That's, well, we're third generation native Texans, so we're kind of conservative how we look at some things, especially regarding other people's money, and then also regarding the investor success. I just really find that syndication really helps you have a lot of choices, and you do get tax benefits that you don't get through a fund. So.
Okay, so a broker calls you this afternoon and says, "Hey, I've got this hot property over here." And you take a look at it and you say, "Man, this is really cool. I can see the potential of this. It's gonna, generate some great cash flow, net income and tax benefits and so on." What determines whether you're gonna put this into the syndication route or you're gonna do this yourselves?
Well, what, first of all, we assemble our touring team. So one of my partners is an engineer, and so he loves to tour properties with me. I tour them with him. Dan does is heavily involved in underwriting. He also goes, but Mariano and I, we're kind of the boots on the ground people. Just look and see what we got. Dan assembles everything from the insurance people, from the property manager people, and also from the broker themselves, because there's certain information he needs, and we funnel that in and feed it into an analyzing tool that we have access to because we are part of the Sumroc community. So that's kind of everything that happens. And then we contact, our other teams that are outside of Texas, our team members, and we're like, hey, the underwriting's looking pretty good on this. The numbers are looking pretty strong. And then Dan gives them access to his Dropbox files. So they take a look at everything.
But you still didn't answer the question about how do you decide whether you're going to do this yourselves, put your own money into it 100%, or you're going to open it into a syndication
Well, I will
deal.
tell you, Russ, any property that is offered in a syndication, all of our general partner team, they contribute. So skin in the game either way. So there's always, I'm always investing in anything I'm looking at, whether it's a syndication or whether it's a, it would be an outright buy. I'm always got money in any of those properties.
Well, I
Myself.
understand, but some of the properties you buy on your own, and some that you put out in the syndication.
Yeah, well, I will say, in syndication right now, I'm looking at buying in syndication, and I am still spending more time working my way into an outright buy, because that's a lot of capital.
Well, that's true. That's the
A
thing is
lot of cattle.
you talk about skin in the game, and when you're doing
Yeah,
it
it's all your
yourself,
skin.
there's a lot of skin. It's
It's
all your
all
skin.
yours. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, indeed. So yeah, we're running short on time here, but I want to just this is a great conversation for people who are thinking about doing this themselves, and they don't know where to start. They don't know what to do, what the options are. They think they've got to go out and do all this legwork and searching and so on, and whether or not they've got $50,000 or more or less is how to get into it. What advice would you give to a person that's watching this or listening to this and says, I like that idea. I like this real estate thing, this multifamily. What would you tell them? How to get into it?
What I would tell them is be part of a community, because that's what Dan and I did. We decided to be part of a Sumrock community. I have another investor that we would go to his meetups, so physically go there. So we are also part of Wolf Investment, community, and we're also part of REAP investment community, because they actually have events and they have things that we do. We always go to the Wolf Investment Gala as well, and we go to the Sumrock holiday party too. So we're a lot of people, and it's good because you always learn more. Because if you're by yourself, you're like, oh, hey, I'm the smartest person in the room because I'm the only one in the room. But when you're in a community, you are not the smartest person in the room. And guess what? That is like great. It's great. You don't want to be the smartest person in the room because you will learn so much, because you'll be surrounded. That's your circle of influence. Those people lift you up. They lift you up as far as what you know and the action you take in your life.
Got it. Okay, so be part of a community.
Be part of a
Step
community. It's big on.
number one.
I'm
Step
big
number one.
now.
How much money should a person figure that they would like to start with? They should start with
I think they should start with at least that 50K.
50,000.
Maybe more if they can, and maybe split that between one or more investments. Yeah.
Ooh, so take
Yeah.
$50,000, put 25 here, put 25 there, kind of thing.
If that investor allows you, they might need to just fill up some of they just they're clo getting close to closing, and sometimes they'll let some people come in with less than 50. I typically have started with 50, and that was just our common company business practice. That's just how we did for some accredited investing, and there's some separate rules on that. We've contributed 75, but it's just because they're different SEC
Okay. All
on that.
right. And I think just something we hadn't talked about before, the return on investment. Is there kind of a rule of thumb or, kind of a standard in the industry of what an investor can anticipate
Well,
getting back?
I will say that it really depends on, it's property dependent. It really is property dependent. So you have to, when you're looking at these things and you're part of a community and you get to know people and they open up their webinars to you will see the analysis as part of the data. And you have to see if that is an acceptable return on investment for you. And I will say, a lot of that's been very, I mean, it's not always standard. It depends on where you're investing, and just a lot of times you're not going to take probably less than 8%. Probably not less, but I wanted to let the audience know that there can be some variation, but it's only because it's based on property, based on location, like where in the United States the property is.
So there's the when you it's 8% now, that's 8% of what
That's
they've
just,
invested, essentially. Okay.
just that would be kind of the low.
Okay, I understood. What about then a property that maybe the return is not all that high, but the potential for growth, appreciation of the property over time is massive?
Yes.
And so that could lend itself to a refinance, to reinvest, or to sell.
Right.
So does that weigh it any of this thing too? If a person says, well, you know, the ROI is not so great, but this is predicted to increase tremendously in value as opposed to other properties.
Well, personally, I always look at the exit strategy business plan.
Uh-huh.
That's typically where you as the investor are always going to see the potential gain.
Uh-huh.
I've had a property that is sold in like 30 months. It was awesome. It was back in 2016.
Uh-huh.
But it went three times. The return was three times. Short window, high return. So when I was talking about there can be some variation,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That property just hit it out of the park.
Yeah. So maybe the return, yearly return, wasn't all that great, but the exit was
Exit was
awesome.
phenomenal.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep that in mind.
Good
And
point.
yeah.
I'm glad I thought of that.
I'm glad
I'm
you
glad
did,
I thought to
Russ.
bring that. Yeah, man. What about any other advice? Number one, we've got be part of a community.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you could suggest? Say, this is what you really should be doing too.
Well, you need to consider what is your investment point? What are you going to begin with? And you need to understand your risk level too. If you want conservative underwriting, well, guess what? You're going to have to look for investors that are conservative underwriters.
Okay.
You have to
And
take a look at your risk tolerance. You really
as I was going to say, as opposed to people that are a little, they're interested in maybe getting a higher return, but then the risk factor is bigger. And that sounds like just the same as investing in stocks and bonds. Stocks, mm-hmm. you know, you've got that risk part against the measuring that against the potential return. So somebody's sitting out here listening and watching, and they say, I want more information. How can they contact you, Sharon?
Well, I am on social media, Sharon Birdsong Riddle, regarding Facebook.
Say that again slower, Sharon.
Sharon Birdsong Riddle. That's just so my high school people find me.
You said Birdsong?
Birdsong. I'm also on Instagram, same handle. My company has a Facebook page, and it is Excalibur Investments of Texas. And I'm going to spell the Excalibur for everybody. So it's Excalibre. So there's a little variation on that. And then we have a website, and that is www.excalibre.texas.com. And when you go to the website, two things. With the autoresponder, you complete everything, you fill out everything completely on the contact page, you get a little gift. And it's my 8 steps to passive investing. So you get all 8 steps, very good. And then you also can contact me regarding my Money for Life call. And Pat Quinn, the signature talk, famous coach, he came up with that idea and that name. So, and it's just a conversation. You and I are having a conversation, Russ, on a podcast. Well, people can have a conversation with me individually.
And what's that called again?
I call it Money for Life Call. It can be 15 to 30 minutes. And what we can do is we can just kind of talk through where you are in your real estate life strategy, your beginning point, and where do you kind of want to go? So it's like having a third party kind of talk you through, here's my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some things you can consider. Where do you want to go? And I will ask people, where do you want to go? What do
They
you
better
want?
have that answer. All right.
Well, what do you want the outcome to be? How do you want things to look?
Yep.
Because there's so many possibilities, and I want people to be able to really see those possibilities, because
Understood. Right. Okay.
dreams without action, they're just dreams.
That's right.
Dreams with
Okay.
action,
So
that's a plan.
we've got, you said Instagram is a Sharon Birdsong riddle.
Correct.
Okay, that's Instagram, folks. Write this down.
So
I am.
Facebook, Instagram, my website has a, I mean, yeah, my company has a Facebook page, and then I have a website. So there are a lot of ways to contact me,
Got
and
it.
yeah, I love talking to people.
Excalibur,
Excalibur.
Texas.com is the company website, and that's Excalibur,
Correct.
Texas. That's
Texas.
the British way of spelling Excalibur, folks, I think. Anyway,
Oh my. Okay.
okay.
Yeah, we did. Well,
So,
had to go with something that wasn't taken. So.
yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's eye-catching too. So, anyway. Wrap this up. I want to thank you, Sharon, for coming on board here at Money Talks and talking about your experience in real estate investing, starting out in single family, moving into the multifamily. That seems to be where the real action is these
A lot of
days.
action,
A
a lot of
lot of
action.
action, a lot of potential and stuff. And so, thanks again for being on, folks. If you need some advice, if you want to check into this whole world of multifamily real estate investing further, get with Sharon, spend some time with her, let pick her brain, and let her teach you some things, and she'll introduce you to the communities that she was discussing earlier too. So folks, anything we can do for you here at Money Talks, RST Coaching Academy, rstcoachingacademy.com. Check us out, come on in. Real estate, Sharon is your one. Talk to Sharon, get all the information that you need, make an intelligent decision. Sounds like a good deal. So I'm going to say over and out, folks. Thanks for tuning in today and listening. We appreciate it. And we'll be with you down the road next time. All right. Take care. Over and out. Bye-bye. Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.